verses 18 to 20. Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah."
Thank you, Betty. Once again, allow me to welcome you here to this place this morning. If you're joining us now via live stream, a special welcome to you. Our goal, our mission, as always, is to wrestle with how we understand our God, who he is and what he wants from us. And we've been doing that as we've been going through the Gospel of Luke. This morning, I want to start off by sharing a story with you. It's a story about how it's vital for your health sometimes to ask the appropriate question. The story begins like this. There was once a missionary in South America who was very tempted to go swimming in the nearby rivers when the temperatures reached above 50 degrees. He refrained because he knew that this river was known to contain man-eating fish known as piranhas. However, the inhabitants, as they were talking with him, said, no, this area of the lake is free from these fish. There's no piranhas here. No piranhas has ever bitten anyone in that section of the river. They assured him there were no man-eating fish there at all. The missionary felt a little bit relieved and decided the next day to cool off in the river. And he did so for every afternoon for the remainder of the summer. A few months later, reports came that a local fisherman was piloting his boat down that very river where the missionary would cool off. And while he was traveling down the river, he fell off his boat, and they have not seen him since. The missionary thought to himself, I wonder if these locals have been telling me the truth. So he asked them, he says, "Look, I know they haven't found this body. They haven't found the fisherman yet. Do you think he could have been eaten by piranhas?" And they assured him, no. Piranhas, like, if they're going to attack, they've got to swim in schools. And they never swim in schools around here. They only bite people when they're swimming in schools. They don't do that here. So the missionary goes, "Why is that the case?" "Oh, because piranhas don't swim where there are alligators." The point of this story is to understand that asking the right question at the right time with the right answer can change things so much for us. I mean, if the missionary asked, "Is there alligators and piranhas?" chances are he'd still be around. No, he's still around. But still, you get the picture, right? Right question can be life-changing. The right question can save a life. You go into hospital, and before they give you medicine, every time the nurse will ask you, "What's your name? What's your date of birth?" to make sure that they give you the right medicine. They ask the right questions to make sure that you live. And today, Luke is asking us a question for us to wrestle with, and that is, who do you say Jesus is? It's a question that people at that time were wondering about. As we read through the Gospels, we come across people time and time again who wondered who this Jesus was. It starts off with the wise men wondering, what is it about this baby that is so special? We see King Herod also go, "This baby, there's something about them. I need to do something here." We see John the Baptist. He asks, "Jesus, are you the Messiah?" Even Jesus' own family seemed to struggle with who is Jesus. Some say that the religious leaders knew who he was, but they didn't want him to be. But I think the whole nation, all the people around, were wondering that question: who is Jesus really? And remember, this is a question that the writer Luke is trying to get us to answer for ourselves. And this moment, in this moment of retreat, Jesus helps us move the conversation along. And before we start, I want you to notice once again that Jesus is moving from place to place. He's not stagnant, but he's moving. As they're going, he asks his disciples. Sure, it might have been a moment of quiet, but he was moving. He asked his disciples, "Hey, you've been talking to people. You've heard from their lips. Who do people say I am?" Jesus is asking this question because the crowd, he just fed the 5,000. What were people saying during that time? So the disciples began to answer. I must admit, I wondered. I wondered at that moment if the disciples come up with some funny answers. I can just imagine 13 men hanging around laughing. Someone saying something like, "Oh, Jesus, we think you're really Julius Caesar, but just with a bigger beard." No? Maybe some said, "Jesus, you're a vampire." I don't know, but I can just imagine them, that the disciples are wanting to crack a joke. Or maybe they said, "Jesus, we think you're on Undercover Boss, yeah? And you're here to check up and see if we're doing our job correctly. But we do have Luke's record of what they answered. And in these answers are some very deep and profound statements. Listen to verse 18 and 19 again. "Now it happened that as he," Jesus, "was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say I am?' They answered, 'John the Baptist,' but others say, 'Elijah,' and others, 'One of the prophets of old who has risen.'" It seems that when the disciples answers that Jesus and his earthly ministry, as in our day, everyone has an opinion. It starts off with Jesus being identified as being John the Baptist resurrected. And you can sort of see why, right? Jesus and John preached a very similar message. They talked about personal repentance, about how the kingdom of God was coming soon. John prepared the way for people to receive God, just as Jesus was doing. But Jesus was doing something slightly different. He wasn't just preparing the way, he was enabling us to be able to receive God. So when the disciples say this, they're saying, like, some people are saying, "You are like John. You are doing what he was doing. You are a forerunner of our coming Messiah." And then we go to the second most popular answer, and that's Elijah. In the public poll, Elijah came after John the Baptist. Both men, Jesus and Elijah, were men of prayer who performed miracles. Jesus came in strength and power, much like we read about Elijah in the Old Testament. But Jesus isn't Elijah. I don't know about you, but the first time I read this, it sort of feels like it comes from left field, right? I mean, all the prophets that they could have named, why Elijah? Well, actually, there's a reason for this. It comes from a common teaching at the time based on a passage in Malachi. It says that Elijah would come back before the Messiah. So people are saying, when they say Elijah, again, they're saying, "Jesus, we don't necessarily think you are the Messiah, but we do think you are a forerunner of the Christ." And then we get to the third answer. the popular answer that Jesus was one of the prophets of old who had returned. In Matthew's gospel, they suggest like Jeremiah. Now, these prophets, when they say the prophets of old, they mean someone who has come and is suffering in the midst of preaching and seeking to do good, like the prophets we read about. The prophets who had power to heal and raise the dead, but prophets who had to suffer at the hands of people who didn't fully see. Now, these public opinions were right in some sense. They seemed to be on track. The masses saw Jesus at work. They heard the words he spoke, and they formed their opinions. They saw their miracles. They saw the acts. They heard the prayers. And what this is meant to do for us is it's meant to get us thinking about the people's anticipation of the coming Messiah. Their words and actions were meant to be evidence of profound hope. They were looking everywhere for forerunners of this Christ. The problem is that the people had come with too much preconceived ideas of who the Messiah would be. They wanted a Messiah who would come and be a liberating figure. He would take out the opposition, the enemy armies. That this figure would supply the people with all of their needs, every needs, and overthrow their oppressors. This is what the people were looking for. The people were looking for national redemption, but Jesus came and he emphasized personal repentance and personal spiritual liberation. But then this passage, I think, goes from a jovial turn and it takes a sudden turn. And Jesus says, "And who do you say I am?" It's one of those pregnant pauses in the conversation. It was interesting as I was getting ready for this and reading a few sermons, different commentaries, I came across this idea that the Greek language here has an advantage over English. If you don't know much about Greek writing, they don't sentence their syllables. No, they don't write their sentences like we do. We write them in the order that you're meant to read them, yeah? In Greek, you write the most important word in that sentence first. So in the Greek, this translates as, "You, who do you think I am?" There's a common, strong emphasis. Answer this question for yourself. As we know, Peter stands up. Peter is sort of the voice piece for the group. And this time, he sort of hits the nail on the head. God's Messiah. In Matthew's gospel in 16:16, he gives us an even clearer sense of Peter's response. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Peter is commended for his accuracy of this answer. And he's told that it wasn't him who came up with it, but that God had revealed it. See, there's a paradigm shift going on here. It's forcing us to sort of wrestle with, what do we really think Jesus is? See, Peter and the disciples saw what the masses saw. They saw Jesus perform the miracles. They saw Jesus healing people. They heard him preach. They saw Jesus lift up the bread, give thanks and pray, and then had 12 baskets of leftovers. And as we read this, the writer Luke is trying to get us again to answer this question. Now, this is chapter 9, and we've seen the disciples living and doing stuff before they fully understood what Jesus was. But Jesus' comments to Peter, you could have gotten your information from a different source. Peter didn't answer it from public opinion. He didn't take a poll. He didn't let others decide. He decided for himself. It was what God exposed to him, but not the masses. If God hadn't revealed the truth to Peter, he probably would have said the same answer as everyone else. Jesus, you're a prophet. But this isn't his answers. Jesus had revealed who he truly was. It's a paradigm shift in the gospel. We'll see that from this statement, the depth that the disciples will now go is so much further. And within this passage is this concept that we've been talking about over the previous weeks. It talks about a God who is at work in people before they believe. We've been talking about this. We've been talking about, hey, we want to be people who are willing to share our faith, to ask people the question, will you read the Bible with me? To say, hey, can I pray for you? Because we see God at work. We're not in there going, you know what, I've got to do absolutely everything I can to convert you. No, no, we're looking for people that God is already at work and saying, God, help me help you. No, yes, that makes sense. Help me help you. I want to work where you're working. Peter was a person of peace. He was someone that God was already at work at. And he is like so many people today. God is at work in people's lives. But as I said, the right question at the right time can change everything for us. Because this isn't just a question being directed at the disciples. It's a question directed at the readers. It's a question directed at us. You, who do you say that Jesus is? It's the question that we wrestle with all the time. It's a question that all people will have to answer. And it's a question that we could go out onto the street today and get so many different answers. Some would say, oh, Jesus, he is a good teacher. He gave us some great lessons. Others would say, oh, Jesus, man, he is one of the best organizers and best leaders of a movement. Others might say he's a made-up figure that used to oppress the masses. Others might want to change the subject and focus on something that they've read or some of the evil things that people have done in God's name. But we all have to answer this question. Who is Jesus? See, as you read through Luke's gospel, he's showing us and his friends to the identity of who Jesus is. Again, we tie this into the beautiful question we're encouraging each other to ask. Hey, do you want to read the Bible with me? Because it's designed to show God at work and God in action. And so far in Luke's gospel, we've seen some amazing things that Jesus has been doing. In the first 9 chapters, we make some inferences. And we understand and deduce who Jesus is. See, Jesus taught with God's authority. Jesus had displayed his power over sickness. Jesus had even calmed the storm and showed his power over creation. Jesus is the one who raises Lazarus from the dead, not to mention the centurion's daughter, not to mention countless others. Jesus has displayed these things in. He's setting forth the case. There's something about Jesus that makes him different. So these people were sort of right. But Peter's confession that you are the Christ of God is a turning point in Luke. Actually, one commentator said, theologically, this is the most critical statement in Luke's gospel so far. It's the first time that the disciples refer to Jesus as the Messiah. So what makes him different? Well, Jesus has actually forgiven people of their wrongs. Based on the evidence, based on the Pharisees' reaction, only God alone can forgive sins. Luke's been laying out this proof for us. Jesus is the Christ, the one that people have been waiting for, the Son of God. Only God could do these things. So the conclusion is, based on the evidence, Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And this leads to one big question for us today. Who do you say Jesus is? It doesn't matter what other people say, be it people at the office, the shop, the school, wherever you may be. It matters about what you say. The Gospels point to Jesus being the Son of God, fully man, fully without sin, fully God at the same time. This is the person, the only person who has qualified to be that perfect offering for sin. Jesus is the one who would defeat death and offer a valid option for eternal life to those who believe. We're going to break that down a little bit more next week when we talk about his death and how he predicted that it will happen, but that's next week. So you, who do you say Jesus is? Is he a good teacher, a moral man, or is he the Messiah, the one sent to reunite the world with a Father who loves it deeply? Luke's showing us what he thinks. He thinks that if Jesus teaches with God's authority, if Jesus is displaying power over sickness, over creation, even over death, if Jesus is able to say and see through that forgiveness of sins, then he has to be the one that we are waiting for. But this is also a two-edged sword, if I can put it that way. See, it's not only just about who we say Jesus is, but it's also a call to take our faith and put it into action, just like the disciples did. This is the turning point. This is from when they go from town to town, proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. This is when the 12 becomes the 70 or the 72. This is the 12 who becomes the forerunners of the gospel through every corner of the globe. This is a call to be people of faith in action. It's a call for us to go from town to town proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom is now at hand. It's a call to witness and see where God is at work. So what do you take from this? Do you take an answer to the question? Do you take a call to go forth? What's God saying to you right now? Let's pray. Father God, we want to come before you and we want to thank you. Lord, thank you that you are the Messiah, the one who has redeemed mankind back to yourself. Father, we want to pray for each other here. Lord, we pray for those who have yet to make a solid statement of who they think Jesus is, Lord, that you would be at work within them. Father, we pray for those who are ready. Yeah, I think there's something about Jesus. Father, we pray that you would convict them, allow people to come into their lives to show them that God, you are there and you care. And Father, for those who already declare that Jesus is the Messiah, Father, we pray for the boldness to carry your message to the corners of the earth just like your disciples did. Lord, if the corner is here in Musselbrook or in the far reaches of the world in Aberdeen, we just pray to be your people wherever we may be. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. All right, I'd like to invite the worship team to come and lead us again.